We're going to talk about being separated from the world, but it's in a good way. And you'll see that it was a plan of God, something that he did to make us special in his eyes, something that by our faith we have applied it to him, and now we live in this state of favor with him. Well, let's start with some prayer. Father, we yield ourselves to you this morning. We're thankful again. Lord, we just continue to pray and to praise and to worship and adore you, thanking you for all that you've done from the beginning of time, before time. Lord, you created this beautiful planet that we live on. Lord, you created each one of us in your image, and now we're going forth, Lord, learning and growing and yielding ourselves to you and your plan for our lives, Lord. We thank you for it. This morning, as we press into the separation from the world, into the special place that you have put us, this category that you have put us in, Lord, that we yield ourselves to you and your plan for it, that we thank you for it, and we look forward to the process, Lord, as you carry out your will in and through our lives, Lord. We're praising you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So this is actually, if you're kind of following along, the last few weeks we've been doing a kind of a study on essential Christianity, some of the things that are very deeply necessary for the body of Christ to know and understand. And this morning we're going to talk about one that I put in called being separate from the world. Okay, separate from the world, and I think you'll see how that applies. There is a theme that's sort of written into the Bible. Okay, it's deeply woven into the tapestry of the Holy Bible, and you see it from beginning to end. It began with the first instruction that God ever gave to mankind in the Garden of Eden. It began with Adam and Eve. God says, of all the trees in the garden, you can eat of any and all of them except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and it was that evil, because up to that point, God had created everything good, and he didn't want them to be engaged with and partake with the evil. That's why God told them not to. Okay, and from that, all the way through the entire Bible, that theme is woven in there. It continues all the way to the revelation of John, as he is describing the separation of the wicked from the just. And he is pointing out the blessing and the favor, the good things of the just, those that followed God, and is actually heartbroken over what is happening to the wicked at that point. The thing that is woven in there that God wants us to get is this. God wants you, from beginning to end, to be separated from the evil in the world. He wants you to be separated from that. Okay? And along with that, God wants you to know that as a child of God, that you are in a special favored category in his eyes. Something has happened, okay, and it puts you into a place where it's a good thing. Okay, you were bought with a price. We know that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, God sent his only begotten Son into the world to purchase you, to buy you back, to redeem you with his own blood. Okay, by choosing to place your faith in Jesus Christ now, to be saved by his grace, okay, you became peculiar. Okay, I love that word. You became peculiar. You became special. Okay, you became a particular, different kind of person, someone that is separated from the lost and the evil in the world around you. Okay, now I'll show you a lot of scriptures this morning. My son, he was pulling it up on the PowerPoint. He said, wow, you got a lot of scriptures today, Dad. And I said, well, I want the Bible to preach the message today. So I just want to show you some things in God's Word. Because early on in the plan of the human race, early on in humanity on earth, God let his people know that there was something special about them, something very special about you as those that choose God, okay, that made a choice at some point in your life to follow after and to serve the King. Okay, after God had delivered his people from the hand of their oppressors, they had been in bondage for many, many years in Egypt, God called Moses unto him, and he tells him to speak these words to those that call upon his name. In other words, he says, he calls Moses to him, and he says, I want you to speak these words to my people, okay, those that are choosing me. And this is what it says in Exodus 19:5. God said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my commandment, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Okay, he tells them, you shall be my own peculiar possession. Okay, my peculiar treasure. That means something different. And he said, you will be my own peculiar possession and treasure from among all and above all the other people on earth. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests who are consecrated, set apart to the worship of God. Okay, and I don't know how many of you would consider yourself to be a priest, but I want to fill you in on something. Every single one of you should, if you're a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are referred to numerous times in scriptures as being kings and priests. I'll show you some of the scriptures here in a minute. We are told that we are of the royal priesthood, that we are these people that God is speaking to right here, telling them what to say to them, that you are unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Throughout the Bible, you'll see that reminder, even 40 years after this scripture was spoken or whatever, as you would say it in the Bible, about 40 years later, there's another reminder of God saying the exact same thing in Deuteronomy 14:2. He says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth." Okay, it makes it sound like God's people are pretty special. God is saying, these people that call upon my name are a cut above. Okay, that same message is still applicable to you today as a believer. Okay, now you have to understand that God has extended his love and grace to all people. Okay, he doesn't love one above another. His grace, his love is poured out among all. But you have chosen to reach out and receive of that grace. You made a decision to say, I am going to receive of this into my life. Okay, it's kind of like, I was trying to think of an example. And the one I thought of is, you ever been to a wedding where after the wedding at some point, the bride takes that bouquet of flowers and kind of lines up all the single gals and stands and, you know, throws it over her head and they all try to grab it. Okay, in a case like that, that bouquet is thrown up in the air for all of them to have basically an equal chance to go for it. Okay, but in that case, only one is able to actually reach out and get a hold of that and win that prize. Okay, now with the Spirit of God and the love and grace of God, it is poured out upon all of humanity, but more than one can win the prize. Okay, we can reach out and grab that, just like that young lady would grab that bouquet of flowers. We reach out and say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pull that into my life. Okay, those that do, okay, those that reach out and grab that are entered into this particular peculiar category that I'm talking about. Okay, something changed when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. Okay, you were not the people of God, but now the Bible says, now you are the people of God. In other words, you are not that special. I mean, you're human, okay, but now you're really special. Okay, he wants to get that point across. 1 Peter 2:9, he says it like this. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, a peculiar people. Let me read this again. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Okay, in other words, you are a chosen race. I know that's a bad word these days, right? It's like a four-letter word if you say race. But I'm telling you, when you look up the true meaning of what that means in the word generation, it meant race. Okay, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, one that has been purchased by God Himself as a special people unto Him, so that you could put in motion, okay, all the wonderful deeds and display all the virtues and the perfections of God who has called you out of darkness into the light. In other words, you're so special that God's plan was that now you'll shine so bright that people just can't help but be drawn to that light. Okay? You are a chosen generation, according to this. It literally means a chosen race, a chosen class, or a unique category. Okay? A unique category of people. In other words, there's something very special about you now. A chosen generation is a group of people who are chosen or set apart for a specific task or purpose because they are highly favored. Okay, handpicked, sort of. Like God says, these people that have called upon me, I now can utilize them and place them into places, into workplaces, into families, and wherever, and spread the gospel and the good news of Christ. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 said it this way. He said, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Okay, that's at least three different places, dozens and 40 years in one place in different time zones or whatever. And it says again, God has chosen people that call upon His name to be peculiar, to be special unto Him. And then He says, you are above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Okay, now don't get puffed up. Okay, start walking around with your nose in the air thinking you're too special to hang out with people that aren't as special as you. Okay, but the plan was that God would know, as a child of His, you're special. There's something very unique about you. Okay, this verse literally says that God has made you so special that you are above all the other people on the face of the earth. When Regina said, "I usually see myself as God's favorite," she's right on time. I mean, that's perfect. Okay, but I'm actually His favorite, right? Just so you know that. Okay. The idea is that anyone in this room can say, "I am God's favorite. I am special to God. I have been chosen by Him." Okay, that's what God has said for you. Okay, I think that's pretty awesome. That God sees you and I as above all people on the face of the earth. You can say that about yourself. Okay, now it is Emmanuel, God with us, that makes us so special. Okay, it is God with us that makes us so special. There's a great example in the Bible of a man that knew that he and God's people with him were very unique. And he knew that God was the one that made them that way. Okay, and there was no doubt in his mind. In fact, he literally converses with God at one point, and he says, "God, if you don't go with us, then I don't even want to go." Okay? Because they will not know that we are special unless you go with us. Okay? It's Moses. We can read it in Exodus 33. Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way that I may know thee, and that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he, God, answered and said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he, Moses, says back unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." In other words, Moses knew that it was God that made them so special. Okay, and if God wasn't going to go with them, he didn't want to go because they would be annihilated. It wasn't going to be good. So he wanted to know that God was going with him. Okay, that divine favor, that anointing that is on your life, is how the people around you know that God is God. Okay, it is God doing something. That's why Jesus said, "They shall know you are my disciples by the love you have one toward another." Okay, in other words, it is something unique and special about the people of God that they will believe and see because they see what God is doing in and through your life. Okay, I think of that movie, the VeggieTales movie. I think they got it spot on when they said, "God made you special." Okay, if you haven't seen that, it's kind of a classic. It's a good rendition of something. God did make you special. Okay, now that verse that we read a few minutes ago in 1 Peter said that you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Okay, we sang a song a few minutes ago. It said, "We were the beggars, but now we're royalty." Okay, that's that verse that we read said that you are a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. If you look up what was so special about the royal priesthood, you would find that God commanded all who encountered them to be favorable unto these royal priests. They were to be given the best of the best. Literally, the first fruits of all the corn. Okay, that means when the corn came in, the first fruits, they usually thought it was 10% or right off the top. That's where we come up with tithing. It's that taking everything God has given and the first fruit goes to God, that right off the top. That's what happened with these royal priests. They were literally given the first fruits of all the corn, of all the wine, of all the oil, of all the fleece, of all other things, all kinds of things. They were to be given the best of the best. And these things, here, get this, these things were to be considered due unto them because they were so specially chosen by God. This was to be their inheritance as the priests of God. This was to be that these guys, God pointed them out and said, "They are special unto me. All favor, all the good stuff, all the best goes to them. I want you to get that because God calls you a priest. God says you are a royal priesthood. So that in the kingdom of God, all the things that are available out of all that can happen, the good is due unto you as your inheritance as a child of God. Okay, you are considered a royal priest in the kingdom of God. Okay, now again, don't get high-minded about it, but know that that is your inheritance. That is what is due unto you. So you can expect the best of the best. You can expect all the good things because you are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. Psalm 33, the psalmist put it this way. He said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." In other words, those that have called upon the Lord have an inheritance from him. And part of that is this favor and this good stuff that God wants to give them. God will begin directing that to those that call upon his name. Speaking of Jesus our Lord, John said this as he was writing the book of Revelation in chapter 5, verse 9. He's speaking of Jesus, and he said, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou, Jesus, art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us, bought us back to God by thy blood out of every kindred." Here's that above all nations. Okay, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." In other words, John was speaking of Jesus saying, "You have done this. You're worthy to open the book. You're the one that brought us back and made us kings and priests in the eyes of our Father." So you and I, as devoted followers of Jesus, are clearly set apart unto God. Okay, the Apostle Paul reminded us of this in his letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 16. He says, "And what agreement has the temple of God," that's you and I, "with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Don't you want to be God's people? I want to be God's people. That's a great statement right there. Verse 17 gives us some instruction, though. Since you are called out, you're separate, you're called to be a little different, you're called to be special, okay? You're called to get this extra favor and anointing things upon your life. He gives some instruction starting in verse 17. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear and reverence of God. Okay, in other words, you are too precious, you are too special to God to be hanging out in the den of sin. You are the literal dwelling place of the holy and righteous Spirit of God. You know, we're going to blend in with this world to a certain extent simply because we're part of the human race, right? We will blend in. We're going to have work. We're going to have family. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have stuff in the world, okay? We will, to a certain extent, we will blend in with the world. But we should never desire to fit in with the world. Okay, we should never desire to fit in to the point that we are looking and acting just like the lost world because we are special. Remember, we are not of that world. Okay, God has called us out from that to be different. Now, some of you know I'm a law enforcement chaplain, and I spend a lot of time in that field, and I know a little bit about that field, but from my perspective, where I'm at, I do not know exactly everything that a cop, or without being a cop or a deputy, I do not know what they experience. I do not know that to that full extent because I've never actually been one. Okay, so my point is, I will never fully fit in with those guys. Okay, I do, to some extent, blend in. Okay, they gave me some uniform, and I have a name badge, I have other stuff so that I can blend in so I don't stick out like a sore thumb. That took me a little bit to figure out, okay, because I know in the beginning I stuck out like a sore thumb, okay, and I would rather be able to blend in just a little bit. But my point is, blending in is great, but I will never fit in. I will never be exactly the same in conversation and deed. And guess what? I'm okay with that. I am not supposed to fit in, okay, because I'm different. My role there is different than theirs. I do not engage with and encounter some of the same things. The gun and the bad stuff sets them apart. Okay, they have a different role than I have in that environment, and I'm okay with that. I'm not supposed to fit in. Okay, the people of God are not supposed to fit in to the world. We may blend in a little bit, but we're not going to fit in. People are going to think you're strange. They should. Are you guys with me this morning? Is that true or not? We should not fit in with the lost world. We're like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. We are different. God has made you. I showed you many times. God said, you're a special people unto me. I've made you peculiar, called you apart. Be separate. Okay? Because God wants you to know that you are separate. Okay? As the people of God, we are not supposed to conform to the world. Okay? In Romans chapter 12, first two verses says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Since you're different, act different. Okay, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, when you see yourself and you start to see your own life from the perspective of God, how he sees you. You start seeing and knowing who you are as a child of God, and how that then changes the way that you live your life. You don't engage in some of the same behaviors. You know, the Bible is full of clear instructions on how to live in a way that demonstrates that we're different. Okay, it's not hard, but it is a calling. It is something that God has called us to. Colossians 3:12 says this. Paul said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man has quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you also are called into one body, and be thankful." In other words, he's saying, as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, we are wrapped in holiness, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. We forgive and we love and we're led by peace. We do not thrive on fear or aggression or horror, tumultuous emotion. Okay, all the things that the world thrives on. We saw we were watching the Oklahoma game or something yesterday, and a commercial came on, and it was on a TV channel that we had watched before, and Marty said, it seems like all their shows are just getting darker and darker and darker. They're just getting kind of creepy. They're on the edge of things that I wouldn't want to watch. I just don't like to watch. And the point is that that's what the world is hungry for. Okay, that feeds that fear. It feeds on that emotional stuff that goes on. We are not to love the evil things in the world. Okay, that should not be our desire to be a part, engage, and grab onto. 1 John 2:15 says, "To love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world." Okay, so you guard yourself from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life by not desiring to be somebody that you're not. God has called you special, then be special. You are a precious and holy child of God. You are not a rebel. Okay? You are not an object of desire for men. You are not God's gift to women. Okay? You are not a failure. You are not a fluke. Okay? You are not a loser. You are not driven by the lust of the world, but you are rather indwelt and led by the Holy Spirit of God. That's who you are. Last verse this morning is Ephesians 1:3. Paul said it this way. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." Be willing to be different. Okay? Be willing to be who God has made you to be. Okay, the world may not understand. They may think you're a little strange. They may even mock you. They may persecute you. They may not want to be around you. But that's okay. God received you into his fold. Okay, he poured out such a tremendous blessing on you that eventually people may even begin to see that there's something very, very special about you. Be who God called you to be. Hey, and if people don't want to hang out with a royal priest, then so be it. Okay, you be who God made you to be. Okay, not who they want you to be or who the world wants you to be. Be who God wants you to be, who God made you to be. You are a royal priest. priesthood, a chosen generation. Amen. Father, we praise you this morning. It is your kingdom, your glory. Father, let it shine brightly in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, Lord. Let us be different. Let us know and acknowledge that. Let us be grateful to be different. Let us thank you daily that we're different. Let us thrive in the being a chosen child of God. Let us see that as our calling in life. Let us thrive in that to the point that it's our everyday life. And if we begin to stray from that and begin to conform to the world, Lord, that something will click inside us that says, no, that's not who I am anymore. That's not me. That's not who you called me to be, God. Help me go to the right way. Father God, we're praising you. I believe that you take us down that narrow path, Lord, that you help guide us, that you keep us going in the right direction. You lead us by your Spirit. You've got our back and you're walking right in us, Lord, all the way there. Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you for it. We trust you. Thank you for making us different, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.